World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm still in pretty good mood. I carried over here for 48 hours of health and worked that way with me. I was up early, man. The Lord had me up about 3:30 this morning. All good. I slept like a rock and woke, was stone awake. When I opened my eyes at 3:30, I was stone awake. I couldn't have gone back to sleep if they did, whatever. So it's all good. I got my war uniform on today, although I'm not really at war. I am at constant war. But, man, I got a lot of great stuff. A lot of great stuff I want to share with you. I'm going to try to stay disciplined today. Because it's Flea Flicker Friday, but as I was saying to Jeff and some of them in the pre-show, see, I prepare a show every morning. And when I prepare the show, even though it's a Flea Flicker Friday, I prepare the show because what if you guys don't have anything to talk about? Which, of course, is crazy. You will. But I do the research, and I got such great stuff. I said, oh, I don't want to talk about Flea Flicker Friday. I got to show this here. So I'm going to try to blend those two in here with us a little bit today. Today, I got to no after show for me. Immediately, I got to go to Pastor Dunphy's grandson's funeral today. So just continue to pray. This that unbelievably, horrifically tragic thing. Just pray for peace for that family, a godly family. They do everything right? The kids get married. The moms stay home. They raise the kids. They raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and boom. Don't seem fair, does it? Don't seem fair. So I got to get out of here quickly after that. Let's go to the event page real quick for me there, Spencer, if you could. Got some good stuff. I got some stuff that'll put a smile on your face and some stuff that won't put a smile on your face. Yeah, get it up there if you can real quickly, if we can run through that, Spence. Again, I'm kind of messed up here on my end. I'm afraid to even touch my screen. And... Is this going to work if I hit this thing? No. Pin it to my screen for me, Spence.
Gotcha, I'm coming in.
All right, so somebody said to me the other day, Coach, would you please just take 2 minutes and go to the schedule? It's important. In Battle Warrior Tactical and Preparedness Training, September 25th. Now, wait a minute. Chad, you got something going on this weekend, and it's not up on here. So Chad's got an event going down there in Texas. Maybe he'll wake up and talk to us about that. The Embattled Warrior Tactical and Preparedness Training in Wisconsin, October 2nd. Don't forget, although you probably already have, I will be speaking in Buffalo this Sunday morning at noon. And I'm sorry, if you're out there, Kim, I still don't have the address of the church. That's what people want to know. That's why I'm going to be. Then the 8th, 9th, folks, our Ohio Preparedness Summit here at Sky High. Come on, man. Come on out here. Come on. You got to go online. You got to register. We need you to register because we need to know from the food preparation. We're going to have 100. We're going to have 200. What do we have? So please go there and register. It's very, very inexpensive. And you got to find your own housing and all that. The main huddle's changed a little bit. It's pretty much I'm going to talk to Mike and Polly. I did talk to Mike. It's probably going to be a pretty much all day Saturday thing. Maybe not so much on Friday. We're working on an event actually in New Hampshire the night before. With Dr. Sherry Timpany, hopefully more coming. October 23rd, Missouri and Battle Warriors. It's all online. The 29th, Pass and Salt Light Brigade Fall Huddle in Gettysburg. A lot of good stuff going on. Okay, now, Chad's events this weekend. Sorry he slept in today, but we know about that. So you're down there, you're already on.
I'm here, baby.
All right, baby. Well, go ahead real quickly, man.
Well, Dave, look, you know, either we believe this stuff's coming or not, you know, and it doesn't matter, but we need to equip the saints. We need to equip the, you know, the people getting ready to go. That's why we're doing this stuff. We're not just going through the motions. So you know, our standard meeting. We're just meeting Friday, all day Saturday, and half day on Sunday. So then we're collecting all the supplies and everything like that. We've put out email and stuff for the Louisiana hurricane aid. So we'll be collecting that and heading over there next week.
All right. So your folks on the Texas Salt and Light Brigade thing, they know about it. So Chad's in contact with them. And Chad's going to take some supplies down and do some great work down there. And God, we got people. We got seven guys on the ground down there already. We got good. We got a lot of great work going on, folks. Makes me really, really proud. Proud. Not allowed to be proud, are you? Makes me really, really happy to see you guys so engaged on your own. That's my vision. Ray LeBlanc's up there kicking butt. Jeff Klein's kicking butt. Bobby Lee's kicking butt wherever he is. Pennsylvania Brett's kicking butt. Ohio Brett's kicking butt. There you go, Coach. You're going to forget other people kicking butt. It's good. It's good. We're making Jeff now out there kicking butt alone, but out there kicking butt. So God bless all of you. I want to show you a couple of things, a couple of videos. I got a couple of videos and a real quick teaching. That's my goal here this morning. All right, Reg, you want to say something real quick? Come on in.
I just wanted to let everybody know that TA, the Salt and Light Brigade, is free event.
The Pennsylvania one? Okay, cool. Hey, folks, listen, we hate to charge. No, we don't hate to charge money. We have to charge money because, you know, we got a lot of overhead. We pick up the hotel for the guests to come and speak and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you guys know it. I don't have to tell you anymore. So I want to talk to you today about, first of all, go down. It says main build. I don't know if you see that or not. I got to show this real quick because this just shows the foolishness that we're dealing with in this corrupt government. So some church in Bangor, Maine, appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States for a restraining order against the state of Maine to prevent them from locking them down. Seems pretty simple, right? Well, Judge Breyer, whoever, you know, one of those lefties, he threw it out without comment. And then listen to this, put it at about 1.5 speed. And just listen to these idiots. Just listen to these idiots cover for the courts. By the way, as if the courts are king of the mountain. Go ahead and play that real quick. So this church files with the court. Said, we're not locked down now, but we know they're going to do it again. Please block them from doing it. Pretty simple request, right? Huh? Can they do it to us or not? Can we know right now before it all starts? Go ahead, play it.
COVID restrictions are coming back, and so too is the debate over religious freedom. The Supreme Court rejecting requests from a church in Maine to block the state from reimposing new restrictions. NBC News Justice correspondent Pete Williams joins me now from Washington, D.C.
Hang on. Now, Pete's going to give you a very unbiased here, right? He is just, he's a straight down the line NBC news analyst. He's going to give you the gospel, and he's going to tell you why this is good. Go.
A little bit interesting. Maine's Governor Janet Mills lifted COVID restrictions on indoor gatherings back in May, hasn't brought them back yet, but the church asked the Supreme Court to take this up anyway. How come?
Because they said they might come back. This is Calvary Chapel of Bangor, Maine. They said the rules imposed by the Governor Janet Mills were the most severe restrictions in the nation on places of worship, that they began with a ban on gatherings for religious worship. They were later modified to let 50 worshipers into the church. And it said those limitations violated its religious freedom and made exceptions for other gatherings that were not religious. But the problem for the church is that on May 24th, the governor lifted these capacity limits on all public indoor venues. Even so, the church said the Supreme Court should take this request anyway because it said it feared that the state might reimpose them in response to this Delta variant. But Justice Stephen Breyer rejected the church's motion for an injunction. He didn't have any comment. That's what the court usually does when it doesn't take these cases. But it's quite likely the Supreme Court turned the church down because these restrictions are no longer in effect.
So let me ask just
stop right there. I don't want to listen to it anymore. Do you understand the foolishness of this? Isn't this what they call, isn't an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure? How hard would it be for the Supreme Court of the United States to say, sorry, governors, you have no authority over the church? How hard would that be to say?
Boom.
Because, see, it's more nefarious than that. They want you to follow the government. And then 2 years from now, maybe we'll get a hearing. Our system is so wicked. Pandemic of the incompetent. Pull that one up there for me next, brother. Just want to run down a few informative videos here for you today. Hey, put it at the 25:10 mark and watch this. Watch this lady. She's in the city council, I think it is, board of supervisors. Put it at the 25:10 mark. and just listen to this girl howl. Go ahead.
I said I was going to do it where
this just let it play, Spencer. This is a taped over. Somebody taped this
situation as what to do. And
I mean,
so I put it a little bit past that. I was going to do it where
that's the lady
kind of
saying,
addressing
okay,
the people just
comes.
In case.
Here,
I'll just go ahead and
with
play.
Me. Here
use
comes.
This time very wisely, because I mean, basically, what you guys have been doing is, you know, violating every one of our civil rights, and. I don't even feel like I want to talk about these items. I want to talk about what your guys' duty is and what you're not doing. And even the sheriff over here, you guys are supposed to be protecting our rights, and you're not. You're actually on the wrong side of things. And we need you guys because of what's happening.
Just a reminder to make sure that you're staying on topic, please.
I am.
Thank you.
It's on topic. We're good. And I mean, our civil rights should be a topic that gets addressed at every point. I mean, everything that you guys are doing in this county goes against our civil rights. So these are rights that were granted to us by God that you cannot usurp. And every day we're facing being, you know, threatened by our own officials. That's tyranny. You know what I'm saying? And like when that happens, the people can stand up against it. And abolish the government when they go against the people. And at this point, it's like, I feel like I should be talking to the people. Because you know what?
Amen.
It's about time that all of us stand up and assert our rights. It's enough of this, because what they're doing is crimes against humanity. It's treason. They should all be hung. I mean, and that is going to come, but what needs to happen, because they're not going to do anything. All of us here need to be the ones to do something and stand up against this. It's time that we take our nation back, our county back, and stop being afraid because we're sitting in a prison cell with the door open. And it's just time to walk out. It's time to stop playing this game. I mean, they have masks on all the time. And they know they don't work. They know these vaccines are killing people, and they don't care. They don't care. So it's time for each and every one of us.
She doesn't know what to do.
No, she doesn't.
Get rid of this COVID pandemic. They're not going to stop the emergency, but it's up to us to end this. This will end when we put an end to it. Understand that. Understand that we have the power to do that. Don't.
They turn my mic off.
Just a reminder, please stay on topic.
Great.
It's a reminder, please stay on topic.
That's
please
Audra.
Stay on topic.
It keeps. They turn it back on.
Right.
Yeah. Do you want?
I am. This is the topic.
The police had come.
There's a whole lot of topics in here. Thank you. Look at that. But it's time, people, for real. Like, at what point do we say we're done playing this game? At what point do we say we're born free? We're born free. And we put ourselves in these chains that we could take off, that they want to keep us in every day. And it's time that we stop playing their game and say, I'm done. Because when we do that, COVID will end. And we can go back to life. And we can have all the things that we enjoyed. There won't be children killing themselves. You won't even address that, or the fact that people have to drink because they're so fed up with all of these shenanigans that are going on. It's time for us to just stand on the freedom that we were given and have courage to do it, because we can, and it's up to us to do it, because they're not going to. None of them are going to do that for us. So it's time that we go around and we spread this out and spread freedom as far and wide as possible, because they're going to come and they're going to try and tell us what to do. And it's time to say, no, I'm not playing that. I'm not going to do that, because basically what they're saying, I mean, we might as well peddle heroin and say that it's good, because these vaccines aren't, but they want to say they are, and they want people to just go take them and basically jump off a cliff because they don't know what's really going to happen. But we do. We know. And don't let them tell us this is misinformation, because it isn't. They won't even do their own research. They have a doctor that doesn't know diddly squat. She wants kids to be put in masks while they are playing sports, and she's a sports doctor. At what point is she going to address the fact that we've asked for an isolation of COVID and it doesn't freaking exist?
Ms. Morgan? Yes. Which item are you speaking on now for the record?
I am speaking on number two.
You believe this?
No, I'm sorry, not number two.
We called you up, right. Ms. Morgan, we called you up for items five,
yes.
Six.
Five, six. Okay.
Seven, eight, nine. Eight.
Okay.
Did he pause it for a second? Pause it for a second. So I think this what makes it this even better is if we know what those agenda items are. Like we're talking like the budget for the sheriff's department.
This is so it, isn't it? She turned to the sheriff and said, "You're supposed to be protecting us from these people." Right? And yet he's part of their team. How did that happen that he became part of their team? And his job is to protect us from these people.
But who's paying him, Coach? Who's paying him?
And it's a mental thing. It's a mental block. We got to get by. I got to show you another one, Jeff, before we get in there. Go to Vaccine Thief. You want to talk about something that is absolutely out of this world crazy, good crazy. Started at the 3-minute mark. Oh, just hold on right there, folks. So this is the second of two videos I was going to play this morning. This guy here, this is unbelievable. This is clear back in May. But since then, he's done what he went into. You'll see it. He goes into CVS or whatever because the vaccination is free, right? So he goes into CVS and he goes up to the guy and asks for his free vaccination. And they hand him, he says, "Can I see the box?" And they show him, well, you'll see it here. And they show him the box and he takes it out. He says, "Thank you." And he walks out with the vaccine. He said, I have a free vaccine. This is mine. It's free. And so what he's done now over the last several months is he's done this, I believe, four different times. And he now has a vial of all four of the vaccines. And he's sending it off to experts, laboratories, who are going to find out for us what's in the vaccine. So watch this. We have got to start being smart like this. This is ingenious. Go ahead and play it. Starting at the 3-minute mark.
All right. As
so, this is our first. However, very rarely if you have any of these concerns.
Sorry, he shows up to get it.
Okay. So may I have you tell me your birthday?
7/20/88.
Bring this card back so we can refill it out for you. Okay.
Okay. Now this card is good for to show. To go into places for travel and everything. Okay. You guys gonna give like a better card than that? Is that that'll wear out? You know.
So what I was gonna say is that office depot here they laminate these for free.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna get a laminator. Sweet. Yeah, because I was wondering. It's like they're just giving these little flimsy cards out, and you know, expect we're supposed to travel with them, and you know, they need to make something more official. You know.
Right. You keep that and bring that back so we can refill it out and then.
All right, sounds good. So is this the vial here?
Mm-hmm.
This is my vaccine? All right. I just wanted to document this, guys. This is the vaccine here. Here, we'll trade. Here, you can take this. So this is the vaccine, guys. And this is what they're poisoning everybody with. Hey, guys, do not take this vaccine, okay? This is going to kill you. I promise. This is poisonous. And I'm an investigator with the National Action Task Force. This is my vaccine, right? So I'm taking this. We're gonna test this out. No. This is my vaccine. Don't take it. I promise you guys, you won't live long enough to regret it. All right, we're just gonna.
Call the cops, please.
Yeah, go ahead. This is my vaccine. I'm taking it.
But there's multiple vials in there.
Please don't take it. Okay. So take it easy. So, anyways, guys, this vaccine is going to kill people. Just had to warn them. So they're going to call the cops on me. But there's a little bit left in here. And I thought they had to keep it on the freezer or whatever. But that's how you take your vaccine, guys. I'm taking my vaccine. Okay? Physically taking it. National Action Task Force is going to send this to the lab and test what they're poisoning everybody with. You know? I gotta make a getaway. They're calling the cops. It's ridiculous, man.
This is so ironic, isn't it? You can stop. Isn't this so ironic? He went in, and he just got the vaccine, and he says, "Hey, I'm going to go and put it. I'll go home and put it in myself, or I'll drink it." And they're panic stricken, but they can't do anything about it because it's a free vaccine, right? And he's taking the vaccine. Now this guy, there's another video. He now has four different vials, and he's sending them out to labs. He's got a good chain of custody and all that, and he's sending them out to the labs, and he's going to get back an evaluation of what's inside of them. We're winning, friends.
That's great.
We're winning. We're winning.
Can you put those in the chat? Those two videos?
Spencer, put that in the chat. Yes. One more thing. Let me see here. Okay, I got to do it. It says killing us. And then Jeff and Vinny, we'll get you in here, okay? I got to lay the groundwork here real quick. So this guy here, best explanation I've seen about, this is Dell Bigtree. And he does a video of this guy who created one of the vaccines. He's the creator of it, right? So it's a really, really good video. It lasts about 17 minutes. But I want you to start just at the beginning, Spence. We'll go for about a minute at the beginning, and then we want to jump ahead to I think it says 3-minute mark. No. I'm sorry, to the 9:50 mark. So just open this up so we can listen to the first minute so they give us the credentials of the guy we're going to see here. Go ahead.
The creator that went on his LinkedIn and put out a letter to every single professional in the world, essentially telling them we must stop the vaccination program immediately. This man could not be more pro-vaccine. In fact, he may be one of the most highly ranked and talented vaccine creators in the world. Let's take a look at the resume of the man that is screaming at the top of the mountain right now. This is Geert van den Bosch, PhD. He was at GSK Biologicals, at Novartis Vaccines and Diagnostics. He was the director, research program leader, and head of adjuvants. Solvay Biologicals, global project director of the influenza vaccines. For the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, he was the senior program officer, global health vaccine discovery. For Global Alliance for Vaccine Immunization, Gavi, he was the program manager. And at UNIVAC, he was the chief innovation and scientific officer. He's also at the German Center for Infectious Research, head of the Vaccine Development Office. And at Verico, he was the managing director. This guy is anything but an anti-vaxxer. He is as pro-vaccine as you can get, yet there is something that has got him terrified. He did an interview. I think this interview is so perfect that I'm going to do something we rarely do.
9 minute and 50 second mark, Spence. Now, here's the guy going to explain. This is going to be about 4 minutes. He's going to explain to you. He invented some of these vaccinations, and he's going to explain to you why we can't do this anymore. Okay. Go ahead. Nine.
We are turning it into a killer in every single body that is getting it. Well, now what this vaccine is doing is it's turning hundreds of millions of people around the world into a gigantic gain of function laboratory. And where I have told you before that in nature, viruses tend to mutate and become less deadly because if they kill their host, they don't move on. Then the evolution, they want to move on, so they stop killing their host. What he's saying is this isn't a natural pandemic. We have inserted ourselves here. We are now inserting a mechanism that we're teaching it to actually go the opposite direction. It's getting more deadly. And the way we're doing it, the other one will not compete. It's not going to move in the direction that a natural virus does because we're not acting naturally. We are putting immense pressure on it with an underperforming vaccine that is going to turn it into a Hulk. And his concern is that it will become so virulent and so deadly, there is nothing we can do to stop it. Now, listen to this.
I've seen the question many times, and quite frankly, I get asked the questions. We're coming to a point where people are going to have to take these vaccines. That looks as though it's the reality, either in the context of work or in the context of travel. Based on what you're saying, they're in a lose-lose situation. What does this mean?
Well, what does this mean is very clear. Let's consider the consequences of this, both at a population level and at an individual level. As a matter of fact, it is detrimental both on a population level as on an individual level. And I'm telling you why. I think the population level, I explained you, we are increasingly facing highly infectious strains that already right now we cannot control, because basically what we are doing is when we vaccinate somebody, we are turning this person in a potential asymptomatic carrier that is shedding the virus. But at an individual level, you are at the same time losing the most precious part of your immune system that you could ever imagine of. And that is your innate immune system, because innate antibodies, the natural antibodies, the secretory IgMs, will be outcompeted by these antigen-specific antibodies for binding to the virus.
Stop and a second.
That is a lonely...
The vaccine will cause your natural antibodies to be overwhelmed by the new vaccine. In other words, you will totally, completely destroy your immune system. I don't need to go any more than this. We can put this someplace where people can see it too. Folks, why are we listening to Fauci? Why is Fauci in the CDC the only one that has a right to say anything about this? Why is your doctor so blind to what's going on? Why is your doctor following simple protocol that the CDC has laid down and they won't even look at anything else? This guy's the high chief of vaccines. And he says, we have got to stop this right now, or we are going to eliminate the human race, because people are going to lose their own natural antibodies and they're going to shed, you heard him say that, they're going to shed that to other people. This is beyond anything that the Nazis ever thought about doing, folks. Golly, I guess I still got some stuff. Go ahead, Jeff, come on in.
Coach, just to let everybody know that it's growing here with the school board meetings here in Knox County. Dr. Laura Murnane has went with us to the board meeting and speaking the same thing that guy was just saying. She's telling him now. She's going again Monday night. We're anybody close? We'll hit Mount Vernon at 6 o'clock. When we get our 15 minutes and they've shut us up, we're all leaving there as a group and we're heading down to Danville. There starts at 7. So we're doing a double whammy on two school board meetings.
Good. We'll all be there.
Come on in.
We'll all be there. God bless you, Jeff. Vinny.
Good morning, guys. Hey, listen, Anthony Fauci and Wilhelmina Gates put the Terminator gene in a needle. This is what this is. This is the bloody mark.
They ought to be hung for murder. They ought to be hung for murder. Absolutely. And every doctor that's promoting it, because they know
absolutely
better.
Ridiculous.
Michelle, come on in.
Boom.
Morning, family. Hello, team. Coach, it's great that this guy wants to go and have it tested. The problem is the lab that he's going to have it tested at won't have the markers that's in it, and we already do know what's in it.
Okay, well, then, heck, let's not even do it. Let's not even do it. I'm sorry I played it.
We know with what we do know. We know this is killing us.
Yeah.
So this
is a program of hope, okay? It's a program of hope. I believe he'll get it to a good lab with good doctors, with good security. Why? Because that's what my faith teaches me. My faith doesn't teach me he's going to lose. My faith teaches me he's going to win. That's what my faith teaches me.
Amen.
We know the whole system screwed up. We know the whole system screwed up.
Boom.
We know
someplace, somewhere, I believe we're going to find an honest guy. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, it's the same scenario of, Coach, we're going to get raptured, so let's just sit here and do nothing, right? Yeah, of course you do something. Yeah, yep. That's what you do. You make the effort, and you do try. You fight the battle. It doesn't matter whether you have to fight. You have to rise up, and that's exactly what this guy did. He laid down his life for we to have the opportunity to see what might be inside those vials.
That's right. That's right. By the way, he took his vaccination, didn't he? Go ahead, Steve.
You fight in faith.
You fight in faith. I'd say, bless this, Lord. Bless. He raised up this guy out of nowhere. Isn't that what God does? By the way, that doctor he was on the Zoom call that we did earlier, right? You guys know that. He was on that Zoom call that Brett and Sherry Timpenny and that launched this whole thing. He was one of the guys we were talking to. Tracy.
I'm just saying the same thing. At least he's off his ass doing something. And I'm sorry if that's a bad word. At least he's trying, and maybe somebody will believe him, an actual, you know, not some doctor on the TV or some news media, that this is what's in it.
That's right.
Amen.
That's it. Come on in, Rochelle.
And I apologize for that word, but it makes you
stop it. Stop it. Go ahead. You're speaking in tongues the way I see it.
Good morning, team. Good morning, team. I just wanted to read a quick Bible verse on persecution. God bless you when you are mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted too. That's Matthew 5. One more, Matthew 24:12. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But those who endure to the end will be saved. So keep fighting. We have to stand up.
That's me. That's me. Come on in, Clay.
I don't think Jesus trained the 12 disciples to go out and tell people about the rapture.
I don't think he did either, Clay. Come on in, Joanne.
Hey, Coach, I got my hand up.
Go ahead, Jack.
My guess.
Hang on, Joanne, hang on. Let Jack go a minute.
Well, it would take about 20 minutes, but Ken Graves didn't want to take the stand 5 or 6 years ago when we tried to talk to him about his 501c3 involvement. Okay? So he's a little late to the game, and he's fighting it on the wrong grounds. The vaccine thing, we tried 2 years ago. There were 5 legislative laws that went into effect that were in direct violation or direct confrontation to your religious liberties. The famous Christian Civic League of Maine would only endorse 2 of those. And not only did they just endorse 2 of those, when they had this great platform to reach all the churches, they wouldn't even tell the rest of the churches that there were 5 other ones out there that they could also get involved with. They shut us out.
Okay, so we know, Jack. We know it's a corrupt system. We know that, right? Where are we now with it? It's a corrupt system. It's Luciferian controlled. And God bless you. I don't care what they did 10 years ago. What do we do today?
What are we doing today? We got to just say stop. What we did yesterday was we went into the county commissioner's office in a strategic. Kevin Bushy, God bless him, he was so articulate. He had his paperwork in a row, and he gave them a very well-spoken, articulated confrontation. God bless Harold and his brother. They went off on him with the Constitution and made them all crazy. Me, I was just sitting there with my silly paper bag mask. I didn't say a word. And I got 20 minutes of a private conversation, and I cannot go into it, with the sheriff, who is a wonderful, wonderful conversation. We can go places, but it's got to be strategic. You, by yourself, Coach, you cause a problem, and that's great. But if there's not somebody there next to you to be enforcing it, and endorsing it and following through, it's a waste of time.
Jack, that's been the theme. That's the theme. Joanne, come on in. Joanne. Randy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I muted, but I put my hand down. Great lab is Mike Adams' lab, wouldn't you think?
I'd say so. I see some good labs out there with some good, honest people. In fact, maybe the Lord will raise them up, huh? Wouldn't that be unique if the Lord raised up champions rather than us always worrying about how they're going to shut us down? Come on in, Randy.
Coach, you taught me how to be a doer. I'll never be able to go back to sitting and watching and doing nothing. Coach, I had a dream. I was in the airport, and I'm looking around, and it finally just hit me. Everybody masked up, just dumbed down, stupid, no truth. And the Holy Spirit said, get up and preach. And I got up sitting in all those gates. There's probably 300 or 400 people. And I just started preaching, Coach, and telling them the truth. And finally, and there are people, a few of them start taking their mask off, and a few of them start nodding their head, Coach. Now, I'm not putting me up here, Coach. I'm talking to all of us.
We get it. No, we get it. I get it.
This is us, Coach. And I already knew, okay, I'm willing for him to come in there and cuff me and take me out. Okay, I'm good. I'm good with that, Coach. That's good. I don't care. when we see ourselves doing this, Coach, and not just sitting and hoping someone else will do it, that is when things are going to start changing.
Hey, Randy, I'm going to go get my vac. I'm going to go take my vaccination just like this guy did. Come on in, Debbie.
I just wanted to say, we may know now what's in it, but do we trust that they're not changing it?
Sure. Well, of course they are. Of course they are. They've been doing it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Let's get ahead of them. Come on in, Jerry.
Some things never change. So the song goes, "Onward, Christian soldiers." Jesus wants warriors in faith, not wimps in fear.
Amen. Revelation 20:15, then Reggie, then I'm going somewhere else. Say on. Go ahead, Reb.
Morning, Coach. I don't know why we're going. I don't know why we're going in front of school boards and commissioners and these things, begging for our rights back, when we know that they're not going to give them back. So right. Why don't we just assert ourselves? Just do it.
Why don't we just assert ourselves?
Yeah.
Just how about this? How about we get a group of people and we go to the sheriff? Maybe that guy would do something, because if he ain't going to do it, it ain't going to get. If you don't get enforcement from your sheriff, you ain't going to get any enforcement, boys and girls. And then it's going to have to fall into our hands. Reggie?
Amen, Coach.
There's a lot of people have contacted me and want to help with Tiny Hearts. And you say, Coach, do be a Jewer. Well, part of May 1st was being a Jewer. And there's a threefold reason that I want to start setting up what I call military outposts. So that is literally being out there. People, your presence and your word, whether it's one person or two people, you don't understand the power by your presence in society speaking truth. So I just wanted to put that out there. We need to do this.
Yep, we're getting doers gone. You guys are doers in here. It's all good. We're all doers. Go ahead, Larry. Can't hear you. Can't hear you. Can't hear you, Larry. Can't hear you, Larry.
Yeah, I've been listening, and virtually everybody is right. There's smart ways to do things and then not so smart ways to do things. And it is better to do something than nothing. And it is better to do something coordinated and orchestrated than individually. And this is where communication comes in that can't be listened in. You guys got my contact. Contact me. We'll talk about that. Thank you.
Apostles died. Pull that up for me, Spence, real quick. Hey, Silver, you in here? You hiding in here, Joe?
Yes, Coach, I'm here.
Okay, there it is. Okay, hey, Joe, just real quickly, just run down through this. This is your Best Life Now Christianity, first century, all right? Best Life Now Christianity, first century. This is what happened to the apostles. Go ahead, Joe.
Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia, killed by a sword wound. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Luke was hanged in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. John faced martyrdom when he was boiled in huge basin of boiling oil during a wave of persecution in Rome. However, he was miraculously delivered from death. John was then sentenced to the mines on the prison island of Patmos. He wrote his prophetic book of Revelation on Patmos. The Apostle John was later freed and returned to serve as bishop of Edessa in modern Turkey. He died as an old man, the only apostle to die peacefully.
After being boiled in oil. Go ahead.
Peter, he was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross. According to church tradition, it was because he told his tormentors he felt unworthy to die in the same way that Jesus Christ had died. James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, was thrown over 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat James to death with a fuller's club. This was the same pinnacle where Satan had taken Jesus during the temptation. James, son of Zebedee, was a fisherman by trade when Jesus called him to a lifetime of ministry. As a strong leader of the church, James was beheaded in Jerusalem. The Roman officer who guarded James watched, amazed, as James defended his faith at his trial. Later, the officer walked beside James to the place of execution. Overcome by a conviction, he declared his new faith to the judge and knelt beside James to accept beheading as a Christian. Bartholomew, also known as Nathaniel, he was a missionary to Asia. He witnessed for our Lord in the present-day Turkey. Bartholomew was martyred for his preaching in Armenia, where he was flayed to death by a whip. Andrew, he was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece. After being whipped severely by 7 soldiers, they tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported that when he was led to the cross, Andrew saluted it in these words, quote, "I have long desired and expected this happy hour. The cross has been consecrated by the body of Christ hanging on it," unquote. He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he expired. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips to establish the church in the subcontinent. 11. Jude was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Matthias, the apostle chosen to replace the traitor Judas Iscariot. He was stoned and then beheaded. Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the evil emperor Nero at Rome in AD 67. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment, which allowed him to write his many epistles to the churches he had formed throughout the Roman Empire. These letters, which taught many of the foundational doctrines of Christianity, form a large portion of the New Testament. Perhaps this is a reminder to us that our sufferings here are indeed minor to compare the intense persecution and cold cruelty faced by the apostles and disciples during their times for the sake of the faith. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved."
Amen, Joe. You can stop there.
Okay, Coach.
Best life now, huh?
Can you put that in chat?
Rapture. Rapture, baby. Rapture.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What did Andrew call that? He called it happy hour. When I was a drunk, I thought happy hour was sitting in a bar.
Yeah. Happy hour. Happy hour.
How does that go along with you got to choose your battles? Oh, let's choose our battles. That choose my battle only means I don't want to fight if I can't win without any losses.
No, choose your battles. Choose your battles means you go fight, I'll stay home. That's what it means. That's what it means. So, hey, listen, I'm in a pretty good mood today, actually. But I want to finish up with something. I love to finish up the weekend, especially with something that makes you think. Okay? So here it is. One of the things that's been, Spencer, pull up, what link did I send to that dude? Get it ready because it's going to take you a minute. The Bride of Christ, pull that up there, Spencer. One of the themes that's been of our program is that so much of what we've been taught isn't true. We've been taught the traditions of men. And it becomes very, very uncomfortable for us because these deeply held beliefs and traditions, like we talked about yesterday, the devil's come to kill and to steal and to destroy, right? Those are really, really hard for us to unplug because we've learned them forever, okay? But I want to run down through this because from the time I began to, I don't know, this become revealed to me. Hey, folks, the church fights like a woman. Why does the church fight like a woman? Well, the church fights like a woman because we call her one. We call her the bride. Bride. The church is Jesus' bride, right? What if that came from the Catholic Church and the worship of Mary? What if that had anything to do with that? So this is one of those moments. Sit back and swallow. Don't send me nasty emails. Do the research. Show me where I'm wrong. I don't care what your Uncle Charlie said. I don't care what your grandpa's pastor said. Okay? The church is not the bride of Christ. Start scrolling down through here. No argument. You can argue at the end. Do you still believe women should not be pastors and leaders, or do you still believe healing was just only for the early church? Do you still believe that baptism of the Holy Spirit was only for the early church? Many of the church's views on these doctrinal pillars have been revised in recent years. With a spirit of honest examination, the church has realized that they were not quite right. With that said, I believe it's time to take a closer look at the bride of Christ. Here are the reasons why. Revelation 21:9. Now, it's like I said yesterday, we are brain dead on the thief come, the devil comes to kill and steal and to destroy, even though the Bible doesn't say that. That is not what the Bible says. We've made it doctrine. So we talk about the church being the bride of Christ, and Revelation 21:9 says this. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come with me and I will show you the bride. Can you guys understand English? Can you understand English? The angel says, come over here, boys. I want to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. With me. And he carried him away in the spirit to high mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Who is the holy city? Not the church. Well, there's the Lamb's wife. The bride of Christ is not the church. Revelation 21:9 clearly states the bride is the Lamb's wife. It's the holy Jerusalem. Revelation 19:2. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, wait a minute. Revelation says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Again, the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ, cannot be referring to the church. If the church is the bride of Christ, then the Christian has to do something to get himself ready. This requires works to be done by the Christian to get ready. The word says that we are already made righteous and are already sanctified. So then the church, in God's eyes, is already ready. The bride of Christ has to be something else. Jesus did not teach that his body is also his bride. And Paul didn't teach it either. Christians are repeatedly called the sons of God, the body of Christ, the church throughout the New Testament. Never once called the bride. Never once. Currently, the main teaching regarding the bride of Christ is that she is the church and must make herself ready. In other words, we got to clean up ourselves before we can make ourselves ready for it. This teaching is inconsistent with the entire Pauline revelation of the gospel of grace. Because of the three gifts of grace, we're already righteous, without spot, no blemish, the Lord's sight. We're already ready. Therefore, it stands to reason that the church can't be the one getting herself ready. The bride of Christ then must refer to something or someone else. The bride must refer not to the church, but to the Holy Jerusalem, just as the Word of God says. That'd be unique, wouldn't it? The Word of God would say that. The unfortunate bride of Christ doctrine, readying ourselves, lies in God's hands. Bride of Christ teaching says the church has to do something to make herself ready to be perfect. If this is true, then there's absolutely no way Jesus will ever return, because we cannot make ourselves ready. We are not perfect. It'll never happen. It's just not possible. We will never make ourselves holy. We will never do it. Can't do it. So you can't ignore the comparison of worship and marriage. Though I do believe that the bride of Christ refers to the church, I do think that the comparison of our relationship to God with the covenants, promises, and vows of marriage is helpful. The word does not make those comparisons. I don't refute that. God has made a lot of promises to similarities to those who make to each other when getting married. But as far as my personal relationship with God, I'm a friend of God. He's my dad. I'm his son. And the scripture reads, we cry, Daddy, Father. The closeness and intimate nature of our relationship with him is a relationship that you should be having a father and a son, not a relationship between a spouse. We're God's body. We're powerful. We're manly. We're not a bride. Oh, I know this is hitting some of you. Because your Uncle Charlie's Pastor Joe told you that, oh, no, Coach. That Coach Boy, he is now stepping in it now. Well, just find it for me. Find anywhere in there where it calls the church the bride of Christ. You won't find it. You can look all day. Neither Jesus nor Paul ever preached that the body of Christ is a bride. Neither one of them. They did not tell us the body of Christ is a bride of any kind. Perhaps Israel's a bride, but the body of Christ certainly isn't. Jesus never told his disciples that he would someday be their bride. Paul didn't say we are the bride. In fact, no one in the scripture does it ever say Christians are the bride of Christ. Do you understand that? Not one place in scripture does it ever say that Christians are the bride of Christ. Not only that, it just seems weird that Jesus would marry his own body. Anybody think that's weird? I think that's kind of weird. By the way, that's on the weird thermometer for me.
Boom.
That I'm the body of Christ and I'm going to marry him. What? Jesus is a homosexual? What? The term bride of Christ never appears in the Bible. Never. While in Lamb's Wife is mentioned in Revelation, the term bride of Christ is never used. I searched the Bible for the term bride of Christ. I couldn't find it. It surprised me when I did that search and came up with no results. And to think after all these years of hearing how we are the bride of Christ and how we get to, how he will come get us once we have made ourselves ready. We have purified ourselves. He's going to come and get us. This once powerful man, body of Christ, is a woman. Folks, let that sink in. We call the church she. She? She? I ain't a she. Are you? They're simply making a comparison of our relationship to him. He loves us and has made covenant promises to us, similar to how a husband loves and upholds his promises to his wife. He compares his relationship with his church as the same relationship of a man defending his wife. That is the only comparison. Again, the passage comes clear. I don't want to go. You can read it for yourself. Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. Now, there you go, boys and girls. There is a theological discussion we can have. But I'm going to tell you this. Some of you are stuck in a paradigm that you're never going to get out of it. You're never going to get out of it. First truth, you're stuck in it. All right, pull out your swords. Come get me. Go ahead, Bernie. Hey, listen, by the way, Roger Weaver will give $5,000 to anybody that finds on Monday, when you come in Monday and you show a scripture that says that the church is the bride of Christ. Somebody do that, Roger Weaver will give you $5,000. Go ahead, Bernie.
Okay. No, I was just backing up to you saying choose your battles. No, it's choose your commander, all right, and die for him, okay?
Yep, amen. Amen, Bernie. Well said. Susan.
I've been serving the Lord for 50 years. And you've given me more to think about in the last 2 days than in all the previous 50 years.
Hey,
and
Susan,
thank you. I always had trouble with the bride of Christ.
Yep. Susan, thank listen, folks, I'm saying this. I ask questions. I don't always know. I ask questions. All right? This bothers me. Hey, folks.
It's been bothering me for 50 years.
On the body of Christ. Ain't some woman going to be sodomized by the Lord? Oh, that hurts, doesn't it? That's the implication.
Just FYI, I heard on Dana Lash yesterday that 19 million women in America bought guns in the last year and a half.
Oh, bride of Christ can't trust men to be men, probably. Hey, Sam, come on in. Be nice.
Gunslingers are girls, too.
That's right. Be nice to me, Sam. Come on in.
No, we're going to have a civilized conversation, of course. However, there's no need to wait till Monday, and I do need that $5,000, so. Just make it payable to Pastor Sam.
Okay.
I just want to read a couple things here. We're all familiar with this parable of the virgins, and this is Matthew 25. And it says here in verse 10, and when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That's a pretty clear typification, and you were absolutely on target when you said that maybe the nation of Israel is the bride of Christ. Really, Jacob took two brides. He had one that couldn't see well, who was weak-eyed, that didn't understand the fullness of who her husband was. And then he had one that he loved, who he took later. And that's mm-hmm. a typification of both Israel and the believers.
So, Sam, who's the one descending out of heaven?
The one descending out of heaven is, we're in here in 1 Peter 2, and verse 5 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God for Christ Jesus." So the New Jerusalem is the temple of God that's made out of lively stones, and which every believer is. You know, the whole male and female thing, this gets into where we become like the angels of heaven and are neither married or given in marriage. And this is right. where the Pharisees.
So in other words, Jesus isn't going to be married to, he ain't going to be married to a church. There's no marrying in heaven. Hey, Sam, listen, I don't take time. We can do it on Monday. We can argue, I'll get Roger's money. We can do it on Monday. I don't want to end it on this. All right. Come on in, Rochelle. I threw it on the table. Rochelle, come on. Okay. Come on.
Okay. Thank you. I was just, I'm not arguing. Here's on your side. I'm on your side here, Coach.
I don't care whose side you're on. I want to truth.
We believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. So here it says we are a temple for the Lord. It doesn't say we're a bride, but going with what Sam said, we decorate the temple.
We're invited to the wedding. How many brides get invited to their own wedding?
Corinthians, it says, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you?"
Okay, listen, done. I'm done talking about it. I don't want to end it on this. I want you to do your research over the weekend. Don't come in here right now and try to convince me whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. I ask the question. Does a bride get invited to her own wedding? Does a bride get invited to her own wedding?
She's at the wedding. She is the wedding.
The New Jerusalem, the scripture says, I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. He says, "There's a hey, dude, right there's the bride. Oh, look, it's the body of Christ." No, it ain't the body of Christ. It says it's the New Jerusalem, descending out. Now, who's the New Jerusalem? What is that? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll no longer identify myself as the bride of Christ. You can if you want to. I ain't no woman. If there's no marriage and giving in marriage in heaven, then why is Jesus marrying his own body? Oh, I don't even know if I can let anybody else come in, because, see, here it is, right? Boy, I can feel the hair standing up on the back of people's necks, because their Uncle Charlie's pastor's brother has always said it's the bride of Christ, and he studied the Bible. With me? I love y'all. I don't want to fight. I really don't want to fight. But I told you yesterday, this bothers me and has bothered me, and I don't know if I'm right, but I don't know if I'm wrong. I want to know the truth. So if somebody wants to present that evidence to me, Roger has time to go to the bank this weekend to get some money out so we can get it done. And I wanted one time very clearly where it says that the church is the bride of Christ, not an inference to it. Like a bride. Hey, real quickly, Spencer, Isaiah chapter nine. Bible doesn't contradict yourselves. Go to verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." What? A child's going to be born, son's going to be given, and the government's going to be upon his shoulder, right? "Now of the increase of government, peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it, with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. Amen. Zeal of the Lord of the host will perform this." Now, I want to ask you something. If God is King of Kings and we are his body, at what point do we quit being his body and become his bride? Where does that happen? And you know the answer that all the theologians give me? Well, Coach, it's a miracle. It's a mystery, Coach. It's a mystery. It's always to say, when you can't find the truth in the Bible, well, it's a mystery. Or the Lord just doesn't want us to know that yet, brother, right? I want to know one thing. Am I the bride of Christ, or I'm the body of Christ? And I pick body. I pick. body. God bless you. I'll see you on Monday.
Clear. Coach, just leave your computer on. I'll turn it off.